We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. But today doesn't feel that way. We are divided in more ways than one, and the media and the powers that be all have their own agenda. The people of this great nation no longer care about the truth, they only care about the side they are on. At Poor 360, I am trying to change that. We're bringing you the facts and history so we can all learn something and make our own decisions. Tune in every Tuesday to be a part of that journey.
The following
is a journey into comics.
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 Network.
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 Production.
Production.
And here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Journey into Comics, the podcast dedicated to all things nerd, with your host, the Podfather himself, Nate Phillips.
Showtime, a-holes.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to another episode of Journey into Comics. Journey into Comics 230. I am your host, Nate. Hope everybody's doing fantastic on this Monday morning or whenever you're listening to this in time and space. Anyways, guys, so typically I record this shit on Sundays. Just gives me a chance to have as much news as possible going into Monday. Weird thing, though, I can't record a show if I'm performing in a show. And Walk Among Us plays yesterday night. That's timey-wimey and weird. Tomorrow night, for those of you who are only me, because you're not going to listen to this until Monday. But anyways, we didn't get to play our show like we usually play Saturdays or Fridays or whatever. Our buddies in Delta Queen really wanted us to be a part of their first show back, and I said, you book it. Whenever it is, we're there. And February 10th of 2019 at the Melody Inn in Indianapolis, Indiana, is the show. So we're going to have been played that already. I know that's weird. Again, I'm future past tripping because I haven't actually done it. But by the time you guys are listening, I will have done it and know how the experience was. I assume it's going to be great. We're going to go hang out with Cy. We're going to get to have some delicious food. We're going to hang out with our buddy Patrick Murray. We're going to go to the Melody Inn. We're going to kick ass on this show. We're playing Walk Among Us plays Walk Among Us. So we did that. I know we did it today, which was cool. We did it at practice. That was fun. Let's get right into this. There's a fan question. Somebody said, hey, man, why don't you guys just do a Misfits podcast? Why isn't that a thing on the network? I mean, great thought. I love the spirit behind that. I love the forward thinking of saying this is something you love. Why not just dedicate a full podcast, something else you love, to combine the two things into one world instead of wasting people's time on JIC? Well, as I always say, man, JIC for me is a show where you're supposed to get a kind of behind-the-scenes peek at who I am and maybe take some of my shit and my experience home with you and learn, like, oh, man, he dealt with this shit this way and this is how he, you know, got through or whatever. You know, whatever you take away from my show, I hope it's good. But I want you guys to have some of me in the show. So, you know, doing a Misfits podcast with the cast of Walk Among Us or whatever. I mean, it would be great fun. We have a lot of people. We have a lot of access. We could reach pretty much anybody we wanted. However, our good buddies over at Fiendcast, who've had us on the show a couple times, already do a Misfits-centric podcast, and it's the only one, and it kind of stands to be the best one because of that. So they kind of, they do their own thing, man, and it's great, and we have nothing but respect. They play our horror business track that we cut a few years ago, like on their show, is like a in between their segments thing, which is cool sometimes. So I feel like that's just what goes without saying. Misfits podcast, good in theory, terrible in practice. I don't want to be encroaching on someone else's decrees. That's just not how I roll. I mean, there's some things that we are very similar to other podcasts, but we are also very unique. I do want to mention that too. Chris Plant from Kids for Sale and Crucial Tunes posted the other day a meme. I'm going to pull it up right now, actually, because I feel like it is possible that a lot of the shows, if not all the shows on the network, avoided this generalization of podcasts that was on his page. So I'm going there now. It's going to take me a minute to find it. Just So you got, oh, it didn't take me any time. Okay, so it says new to podcast, choose a genre. The first genre is a libertarian brofa evangelizes DMT and interviews right-wing YouTube trolls. That's them making fun of Joe Rogan's show. I don't think that we have any of those kind of people, libertarian bropras evangelizing DMT and interviewing right-wing YouTube trolls on our show network at all, but we have interviews. That's cool. Check out The Voice Survival. A man with no academic credentials yells about a history book he read in 9-hour installments. Nobody that does that. I mean, AP might read articles and inform you guys on things that he's also learning about, but and that's on 4360 happening tomorrow, but that is not like that one. Seemingly normal, nice adults playfully chit-chat about gruesome murder. We do not have any of that murder shit on our network. We might not ever have any of that murder shit on our network. I don't know. The true crime stuff is fun and well and all and good and nice. And maybe someday someone will pitch me the perfect show and it's the perfect concept that just makes so much sense. We do have a little bit of that to talk about behind the scenes too as well. Not that I'm going to give away any spoilers, just that the future is bright for our network. I'm really excited. Let's see. Nerds recap a show you've already seen and somehow it's longer than the actual TV episode. Fuck, we've done that a couple times. Okay, we're like 7% guilty of that. 30 comedians yelling over each other. None of that on this show network. Like NPR's Fresh Air, but a depressed comedian who probably has cats. We don't have that either. So here's the thing. We aren't any of those stereotypes at the network. And I think that's been a blessing and also a little bit of a curse. Because we are very unique and we are our own thing, you know, with our own agenda and our own goal. But anyways, to brief on the, I said that the future is bright. I got pitched, okay, I've been in the past 2 weeks pitched about 4 shows total. Couple of them were pretty blasé, not really my jam. 2 of them are really good. 1 of them may become more than just an idea. I don't know. It could just be a nice idea that, you know, never becomes anything, but I'm not sure. Then there's another one that got pitched to me today, and immediately I, like, busted my ass to make the logo and whatnot, because my obsession with making it look cool. And I wanted it to be like, you know, my best presentation forward with their concept. And if this show is fully moved forward and they actually do this, it's going to be one of the coolest shows I think I've ever been a part of creating. And I did nothing other than just make their logo. So anyways, and then we've got other talent we've been fostering. It's weird because people go, well, you only have so much space on the network. What are you going to do? What are your plans? How are you going to do this? What's the plan? How are you going to, you know, whatever. And the thing is this, man, we can utilize space way better than we are now. We're really not operating as well as we could. See, technically speaking, because Podcastrophy is on its own feed now, I could also be releasing a secondary Thursday show or bi-weekly Thursday shows that are, you know, also coming out the same day as Podcastrophy, while Podcastrophy is dropping on our feed at, let's say, midnight, an A or a B show of the week could be, you know, whatever. I'm telling you guys the behind the scenes of how I think about this kind of stuff. We have space on Sunday to put a show. So it's like people pitching me show ideas, us looking for talented individuals to join our squad. It is mainly because we just want this thing to be as cool and as big and as unique as possible and get as many different kind of people in on this. You know, and I think that's one thing I've really loved about having some of our newer shows that were spawned last year out of our, I guess, our expansion when Kids for Sale and Adulting Ain't Easy joined. You know, Chris Plant, his show Kids for Sale was awesome, and then obviously he's turned that into his passion to also do Crucial Tunes, and that's awesome. And you guys checked out episode 2, hopefully this past Friday. I'm not sure, but You should have, right here on the Journey into Comics Network. But, you know, those guys coming in out of necessity was really nice because they were already, I mean, AP was already a part of it. We got somebody like Liz, though, a teacher, different perspective, different values, different headspace altogether, you know. So she's fresh. She's talking with AP about their life and their things. And then when she comes on Foodies, her opinion there is also fresh and it's different. So when we're scouting people, it's always to see like how broad we can make this thing. How big can we grow the network without it getting too crazy? I don't want it to be convoluted. You're never going to get to a point where there's like two shows on every day of the week dropping every day of the week at noon and at midnight or whatever. That's way too much. That's just not going to happen. We're right now pretty happy with the 7 at most a week. Maybe we push that boundary and go to 8 or 9, but not right now. And the nice thing, too, is there's other shows that can change and go away or are going to take time off or are going to, you know, dematerialize and materialize in something else. I don't know. So if you're looking at the behind the scenes of the network, it's like I never sleep on this thing, man. I eat, sleep, and breathe what we can do to be better and what we can do to increase not only something that's fun to listen to, but something that everyone feels a part of. You know, when we do events, I want everyone who's there at any event that we do to come up after and be like, man, I listen to your show and it's just a lot of fucking fun and I get your facts and I feel like you're spitballing right to me sometimes and it's like your brain just nonstop and your thoughts just go. You know how to speak nonstop in a podcast. And that is true. I have done enough of these shows by myself to sit here and communicate with you, the listener, while also being able to kind of make it seem like I'm having a conversation with someone that's not here, if that makes any sense. I'm sure right now you're like, oh, that totally makes sense. Fuck yeah. Anyways, we're 11 minutes in, which is pretty fucking good for my opening monologue, I would say. Not bad. I do need to take a quick drink break, though. So, as you guys know, let's bring our first drink break in. This one's brought to you by Pour 360 every Tuesday right here. Journey into Comics Network at journeyintocomics.com. God damn, why is water so good? I think I've asked that question on this show before, but anyways. So, I have more. You know, I want to mention the sink is still not fixed. We have to call the plumber because I tried to fix it. I tried everything and got shit water. Well, it wasn't actual fecal water. It was actually like old food water, greasy, grimy sewage pump water from the sink pipes. Exploded all over me and some even got a little bit on my mouth with like this fucking green gobbler chemical. That was supposed to get rid of the problem. It did not. So we just got this fucking just nonstop issue that's not ending. Motherfuck. Why can't it go right? Why can't we have the sink just fix itself and call it a day? It'll be good, right? So that's kind of been a stressor. And we've been, like I said, we've been prepping for the show. So we did rehearsal where we did Walk Among Us, practicing Walk Among Us because we got to play it tomorrow last night. And it's a hard album, man. It's got a lot of tricky, intricate songs, but they're so much fucking fun to play. Like, I can't say that enough. The Walk Among Us album is a lot of fun to just jam on, and it was really cool for us to get through that, you know, and feel confident that when we go in and do this show that we've already played, for those of you who are listening in real time, it's fucking weird. I don't know how to make it to where I can tell you about the show. Like, usually if I record on Sunday, we've had the show on Saturday, you guys get the recap of like what the night was like, anything interesting happened and whatnot. You don't get that. I will say we've got some big announcements coming up and a lot more shows coming up for Walk Among Us, which is really cool. It's been a trip it is a trip and has continued to be a trip being a part of this band, because it's like we just set our own bar for like what we want to try to achieve and then just work towards those goals really, really, really at our own stylistic pace, I guess you'd say, you know, with our own, veracity. And ultimately, you know, like this year, I said this year, like, we really need to have more shows. Oh, and there's that conversation too. I was like, we really need to have more shows that we kind of curate ourselves. We know the bands that are playing, or we have a little bit of say with the bands that we're playing with. We pick the venues, we pick the dates more to what we want, not just taking on. When we were a green band, the goal was play as many shows. So I would throw the net out there and send out massive, I mean, spend hours emailing venue after venue after venue after venue after venue, and sometimes not hear back for a while, and then sometimes not hear back for an even longer time, and then all of a sudden you'd hear from somebody. But then what started happening was we would hear from more and more and more people, and I was just like, you guys want to do this show? Yes. You guys want to do the show? Yes. We were taking on almost every show that got thrown our way. We probably only have ever turned down like four shows, and it was either usually a conflicting schedule thing or, you know, something to that effect. I think the most recent last show we had to cancel was for Dick and Miranda's wedding, actually, because I had got the honor of officiating that wedding, and that was so much fun and such a lovely experience to spend with those two. But then also, we didn't have to drive to Iowa that day, which was also its own kind of cool thing, you know? So this year, like I said, I wanted to be more about curating our year, and not only curating our year and what we're doing, but like look at it and go, okay, we're playing here, 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 and here, and we're going to do this, 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 this. We're going to make this X amount of money, and then our end game can be this. And like, you know, it's tough, but I think I'll say it one last time. I do believe the future is still very bright for us, and I keep having a hopeful eye that more is to come. And it's been really cool to have all the support, genuine support from our friends and stuff. It's really weird because at first you think, oh man, they're coming out because they're my buddy and they just want to see me and stuff. And that's like really sweet. But then you notice their energy while you're performing. You notice their passion while you're playing. You just, the people that are with you say such nice things and have such a positive reaction to you that, I mean, at least for me, it is kind of overwhelming because I just want to be like Nate the dude, like, if that makes sense. I mean, not Jeff Bridges the dude. I do admire the dude, the Big Lebowski, but I am not Jeffrey Lebowski, okay? Just saying. So let's get down to this Walk Among Us talk and the band talk and stuff. It's been nice to like have a little recap and whatnot, some of the things we've been doing, and give you guys again that little bit of insight to what the purpose and why we do the things we do, you know, because it's been an evolution. I mean, I also do feel like in 2018 we took on a lot less shows. 2017 was the year we took on the most shows. I think we had like, I think we were averaging like two shows a month, maybe three, which for a tribute act that typically, I mean, to be real, just last thing, tribute acts, you guys, I just key on this. Tribute acts don't tour. They don't play different cities. They don't play around because usually if you're a tribute act of something, the city that you play in is where you're trying to make your money. You're going to grind your style there because you don't want to go to other people's places and encroach on their decrees, as I've said before, because that's shitty. But if you have your own thing and your own style of doing it, you can do whatever the fuck you want. I think that's why we've been afforded the opportunities. Ultimately, what I want to say is that the uniqueness of our band has given us the window to the world and been able to kind of pick our destinations and stuff. And I'm just really hopeful that that continues. Back to it. I had another interesting the conversation, and I'm not calling anybody out because I don't think that's fair. I'm not mad at this person. Obviously, I respect this person a great deal. I love that they give me feedback on this show, and I really do appreciate that they do say what they think about the going-ons of this show. And to get feedback for your show, I feel like not everybody has that. So to get the insight of another individual telling you what you think, what they think about what you're doing, it's good because you can kind of like reflect and say, okay, well, how can I make this better, change it, or whatever. So this individual, we'll call him, we're not going to call him individual one. That's not his title. We'll call him individual A. Okay. So individual A contacts me and says, hey man, I listened to your episode last week, episode 229, and I'm paraphrasing here, by the way, folks. I'm just going to paraphrase because it just makes it a little bit more fun for me. Person's like, what the fuck, dude? You keep shitting all over DC movies, and I'm not cool with it. You're a fucking total Marvel fanboy, and I need you to own up to that. Just own up to that and maybe try to be more objective in the future about the DC movies, because it seems like every time a DC movie comes out, you're dog shitting on it. Okay. Look at the history. Okay, I've been reviewing DC comic movies since 2014. 2014, we had what, the Man of Steel had come out that year, or like the year just before that. And I don't think I had reviewed it. Maybe I briefly reviewed Man of Steel. You know what? We did. Brando and I talked about it because it was the prequel movie sequel that the first movie was trying to smash the prequel story and the subsequent sequel story into one story. And it was, anyways, we did in fact cover it. So I've been a part of both the Marvel cinematic universe growth, which of course I got in late as far as covering it on the podcast. I think I've done a good job making up on it and talking about it as much as possible and doing the Road to Infinity War like we did last year. I'm still trying to figure out what we're going to do for, we want to do something special for the Endgame coming in April, but I haven't locked in what the ultimate plan is, because I want it to be a fully solid concept that is airtight. But so I've been, as far as the network and JIC is concerned, I've been reviewing Marvel and DC movies for 5 years collectively. Okay, now I want you guys to think about this. In that time, 2014, what came out for Marvel? Let's see, Captain America Winter Soldier, home run, fucking out of the park. And Guardians of the Galaxy, grand fucking slam, right? So those movies alone make 2014 a massive year for Marvel, and it gives me confidence that what they're doing in the future is going to work, and it has worked, right? And you know, I don't need to give you guys a full history lesson of what comes in 2015, 16, Age of Ultron, Ant-Man, all that shit. You know, like, you guys know pretty much what came next. And here's the truth, and I think I can be fair in saying this. The standard that Marvel has for their films, they don't sleep on. They don't give you everything you're expecting. They don't always give you everything you're wanting, but they always leave you satisfied one way or another. Even in Infinity War, when it was an awful, tragic ending and Thanos had snapped half of the galaxy away, like, it was still satisfying because somebody's story arc was fulfilled, and you got to see that stem to stern, and the concepts were completed, and you got to understand in great detail of why, right? They do a great job in Marvel of setting the tone, and they do a beautiful job of, and this is very important, every Marvel movie feels, while a Marvel movie, while a superhero movie, they all seem to feel like their own subgenre. It's a heist movie, it's a political thriller, it's a, you know, a space science fiction thing. You know, like, every movie has its own jazz and its own style, and that makes Marvel special because it still is interconnected beautifully. They do have a well thought out plan. They're not just trying to make up for lost time, and I believe, and this is the very important thing, I don't hate DC. In fact, today I wore DC hat, DC shoe, I'm pretty sure. Oh, no, I didn't end up wearing my DC shoes, my Flash shoes. I almost wore my Flash shoes, but I decided against it. But I digress. My love for DC is before my love for Marvel, easily. First superhero I love is Batman. he's fucking sacred to me, right? And I mean, some people might find that silly. Batman's sacred to him, you fucking clown. He's a fucking cartoon. Another drink break brought to you by AP. I'm very parched today and have a lot to say, so I feel like I'm going to be doing a lot of drink breaks. Sorry. But anyways, you're like, you fucking clown. You can't like Batman that much. Like, he's just a cartoon. Yeah, sure. But what that character gave me as a child, a sense of escapability in my weird life as a youth and moving around a little bit. Not a lot. I didn't move around a ton, but I did have some moves and whatnot. And some weird shit happened with my parents and whatnot. So, you know, it's just like, Batman was the fucking first character that I, like, genuinely obsessed over. I wore my 89 Batman tape out tenfold, motherfuckers. Like, I loved it. I still love it. 89 Batman, one of the greatest, in my opinion, greatest films of all time. For its own quirky reason, just being the offshoot of doing... I mean, think about it. Here's the interesting thing. You look back at the old days, and Marvel might have tried to do superhero movies, like full-blown superhero movies, to some degree, but didn't do it really successfully. And this is... I'm not going to count 66 Batman, because that's like a spinoff of a TV show. So it's not the same as it trying to be its own universe. But so Marvel had it in like the 70s and 80s, you know, like this, like fucking, they did Punisher and they did Nick Fury and Captain America. And then you had like Lou Ferrigno's Hulk on TV. And it was okay, some of the stuff, but most of it was hogwash. It wasn't that good. And then you got to 89 Batman and it was fucking spectacular, right? It's like, oh my God, this is what superhero movie. So really... 89 Batman is the groundwork for what I really make all movies live up to, if we're looking at it in a real, in the real spectrum, because it's like 89 Batman is the movie that as a kid I sit down, I watch, I love it. There's moments that stick out from the first time I watch it that I'll never ever forget the first time seeing. Most specifically, I know for the first time I remember actively watching, I was probably 3 years old. It came out on VHS in 1990. So I definitely was three. It was like right around the time my sister was born. And I just remember the Joker falling and the teeth laughing at the end and whatnot. And it was so creepy. The first time I watched it, so I was like, oh my God, I gotta watch the second time. And the second time I watched it, I was probably like in love with the Batwing, because I thought it was fucking amazing when it flies up into the moon and just creates this moment. So there's all these moments of like joy that just like pique my heart as a kid. Now I look back at them and they still pique my heart of like, oh man, there was a, I see the vision that Tim Burton put into that. So I judge all movies by that. Like, you have to be a visionary. And I have actively said on this show several times that there are some Marvel movies in the MCU that are shite. I've also said there are some Marvel movies that exist in the universe, and I'm not saying the Marvel Cinematic Universe, just in movies in general, that are shite. I've not shied away from that. I have not hid from that. I think that some people are a little bit confused, right? You take a movie like Aquaman, and it has all the things that I should like. Fast-paced, action-y, fight sequences. Jason Momoa is a good protagonist, good, great villains, cool sets for CGI. Like looking at all the things that are like the pluses and whatnot, and there are some pluses, right? But, and this is the but, and to go back to the review that I gave last week, it comes down to, you got to make me, like, I guess this is my standard, okay? And this is the best way to say this. It's going to sound corny. I'm going to come off as this fucking weirdo. I'm already a weirdo. I digress. But if I go see a superhero flick, at the end of the flick, I want to walk out of the theater and turn to whoever I saw the movie with and literally say these words. Fuck. Oh, man. I wish I was... Captain Marvel, she's got a movie coming out, so I'll just use her as an example. I don't care. I'm not a lady. But that movie, I guarantee you, because I've just, in the trailers alone, I can see it. I can sense they are still on the right path. Marvel didn't just get stupid and start making bad movies. Like, that didn't happen. They've instilled enough trust in me that I can go, okay, let's see where you take me on this journey. You know, like, really, let's see it. So Aquaman did not do that for me. At the end of the movie, I did not go, I want to be Aquaman. I was like, that CGI was terrible, and there was so much that they could have done better, and I'm really, really disappointed that they don't think about better dialogue, man. That's a fundamental. Write a movie with good dialogue. Know when to put comedy. They don't have it. DC's department, who's the head of movies, they just don't quite have it, folks. And it's frustrating, man. So, you know, I get asked, why are you fanboying over Marvel? And that's, again, paraphrasing. That's not really what was said. And just, hold on, drink break from Poor 360. So anyways, to get back into it, it's like, it's impossible for me to just be a Marvel fanboy. And I know I've been very critical on the movies of DC, but again, you look at the things in their body of work in the past several years, and let's talk about that for a minute, because while you can talk all day about Marvel's successes, what they've gotten right, and the feeling that Aquaman did not give me of going, fuck, I want to be Aquaman, it did not do that. It's not necessarily all of Aquaman and James Wan's fault. And sure, other people's clamored, this movie's amazing, it's great, it's brilliant, it's well done, it's beautiful, it's all these things. Not going to necessarily disagree, but fundamentally speaking, DC has not instilled enough trust by doing their other movies correctly, by giving focus and saying, hey, listen to me. If you suspend just a fraction of your disbelief in favor of this movie and what story we're trying to tell in the Marvel Universe, or well, in the DC Universe, then you're going to be on the great ride. But DC can't do that because their ground has been shaky. Literally, every move, every decision they make is just like, oh, what? Like, okay, great example. Here's a great example. It's a little bit of news. I didn't even have this on the article rundown thing I usually do. This is just me riffing based on these conjectures. It's a rumor that's been going around of who is playing the next Batman in Matt Reeves' The Batman, because Batfleck officially is gone, right? So Batfleck exits, and it's all said and done, and they're like, we're talking about people to replace him, and I'm thinking, DC, now's your chance. Nail it. Kit Harington, someone who is going to be able to be both Bruce Wayne and Batman and sell it. You've got to be believable. You can't just be a pretty boy. You can't just be a badass. You have to be toeing that line. You have to be a little bit of both. That's why Michael Keaton got it right. It's why, for the most part, Adam West got it right. Even Christian Bale got that right. A couple of the other Batmans didn't necessarily get that right, but I digress. So, you're talking about who you're going to make Batman. And I'm thinking, good, they're going to have a great pool of names. They're going to be names that I'm familiar with, I believe in. People that are at the ripe age that are going to be great to play it. What's the first rumor we hear after Ben Affleck leaves? Usually the first rumor is not true, by the way, but it's still worth talking about the possibility. Robert Pattinson or whatever, the dude from Twilight? Are you kidding me? No, he is not going to be Batman or Bruce. He can't do it. I'm sorry, but DC, listen, if there's any truth to that rumor, if there's any breath to that rumor, it proves once again how naive DC is. They're looking now, oh, we got to have star power in our Batman. Guaranteed, has to be a made dude for it to be successful. You're looking at it all wrong. You need to have someone who is successful because they're a great actor. And let their great acting create the story you want to tell. The problem is now is you've got so much shit going on and they're... DC is scrambling because they're like, we want to have an interconnected universe. We can't have an interconnected universe. We fucked up the interconnected universe, and we're going to retcon that probably. What are we going to do, though? Because we've got movies still coming out. We're still talking about movies we're going to have producing. We're still talking about movies that are going to come out. We're going to be... DC might be a brand that gets superhero fatigue that needs to take a chill. Like, seriously, how nice would it be if for 2 years we got no DC anything? No DC movies anyways. Nothing big screen. You know, no teasers, no nothing. Just some time to breathe. And they go, okay, guys, here you go. 2 years later, 2021, you ready? We're going to start fresh from the beginning. We're going to utilize Green Lantern as our first character. We're going to, you know, we're going to tell Hal Jordan's story, but we aren't going to be naive to the core. And we're also going to introduce John Stewart in our story, but not necessarily make him a Green Lantern yet. Also in our story, somewhere in there, you're going to have the Flash show up, or you're going to have Hal Jordan wind up in Central City, and that's your building blocks. Those are your first two dudes. The first two of your puzzle are going to be your Green Lantern Flash. Trust me, it's the right play. Everyone would go Batman, Superman. No, it's overpowered. You don't need to do that. People know what you have in Batman, Superman movies. You need to lay groundwork and make these other people way more fucking interesting than Batman and Superman, so that then when you eventually bring Bat in, when you eventually bring Supes in, they're just an integral part of the team that you know is there, you know what they have to offer, and god damn it, I can't stop enjoying these other characters. That's what needs to happen. They've tried to put their style, they did the Batman versus Superman thing. We never thought we'd see that, and guess what? It wasn't good. It just convoluted, poor plot, weak, straw hat bullshit of a fucking concept. It was not good. And that's it. To just go right back to it. Batman vs. Superman, not good. Bad starting ground, bad groundwork and foundation. Do it right, take some time off, get it back. But you've got Shazam coming out, the Birds of Prey and the Fantabulastic Emancipation of the One Harley Quinn is coming out. They've talked about the Flash movies on hold indefinitely. Batman is going to be coming out. The Batman in a couple years, probably. Wonder Woman 2 is done and I think comes out in 2019. So it's like they've got stuff on the docket. Shazam's coming out. but with no time to stop, no rest for the wicked, they're just a hamster in a wheel and they keep forgetting their other ideas. And they're like, oh shit, we got to start over. But they're not giving us enough time to breathe to start over. I mean, it's just, I don't know. Like, they need to do something. I don't know how they're going to do it, but they need to do something to fix it all. That's all I have to say. But to close this, ultimately, I think that DC gets some other parts of their whole operation correct. They do really great on the comic front. Their television division is killing. However, the movies not so much. And Marvel, you could even argue that some of the Marvel comics are lackluster. I'm not going to disagree with that. You could also discuss and talk about how their television division is only okay, middle of the road. They made some mistakes, the Netflix fumblings and the end of all those different series being lost to Thanos' snap. You'd expect better odds, the Netflix stars surviving, but it looks like they're all gone. No Daredevil, no Jessica Jones. Well, they haven't officially said Jessica Jones yet, but all the other ones are gone. Just keep it real that that's what's happening. I mean, we got to keep it 100 here. So I think I've stated my case on how I'm trying to be objective when I'm bringing you guys reviews and stuff, and I bring it from my sensibilities of what I know I like. And I think about, well, if I suggest something to a person, do they like it or hate it? And most times, if I suggest a movie or a CD or something to a person, they're like, oh, this is fucking cool, I'm into it. Because I know what other people enjoy, and I know what I enjoy of things that, it's just, I can sensibly tell you things that are good and bad, usually. I think I have a very objective palate in that regard. The things I like, the things I don't, and I know why, and I can look at the things I don't like and inevitably find some pros, and I can think, look at the things that I do love and find some things I don't like about them. So, you know, it's not an ultimate fanboying of Marvel, and you're not going to hear me sit here and ever trash DC for being garbage knockoff, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's not like that. I want DC to succeed. I want to see amazing. I want to cry because of a great DC movie, like I cried at Guardians of the Galaxy 2, or feel shock and awe in a DC movie like I did in Infinity War, or just have the hilarity and the comedic tones of something like an Ant-Man, you know, or Guardian, you know, I mean, all those different things. And just to give an ounce of that to DC, it would change them. But I don't know if they're there yet or not. Only time will tell. I think we're going to get into the news now. We've got some articles here to dive into, and I'm excited to talk about them. I want to thank anybody who has been tuning in, and anybody who sends in questions. You guys, don't forget, you can always email me at thejourneyintocomicspodcast@gmail.com. I take all questions, comments, complaints, concerns, and I make them useful. You know, I don't want to trash the person that brought their thoughts and concerns to me, but I wanted to explain deeper where my thought process is when I'm reviewing and talking about anything comic book, video game related, anything superhero related especially. So speaking of superhero stuff, this is pretty exciting because Marvel producer Jeff Loeb has addressed X-Men stories after the Disney-Fox deal. And we're going to get to those in just one second. We're going to take a quick drink break. Once again, brought to you by Poor 360. Tomorrow. Man, water's fucking delicious. So let's see. This is a quote from Jeff Loeb talking about the Marvel Television Division. He is a part of that. And what's going to happen, you know, he's a part of Gifted and Legion. And he is talking about what's going to happen with this merger. He says, I have to wait for them to be resolved, and I'm not trying. You know me well enough to know that I usually go, that's classified or any. We are literally waiting for two multi-billion-dollar corporations to figure out how they're going to merge. When that happens, there'll be a decision made as to where these characters land and what happens with them and that kind of thing. So he says, but for right now, it's a very exciting time because it's happening. Like, you know, the thought that the X-Men and the Fantastic Four are coming home in whatever format that turns out to be is extraordinary, you know? And I can't wait to see what the movie division does. I can't wait to see what we do. I can't wait to see what the gaming division does. Like, it's always been out there somewhere close by. But, you know, it's all going to be under one roof. So it's just, from a fan's point of view, it's extraordinary. I agree with Jeff Loeb, man. It's funny because some more thoughts were brought up about the movings and the going-ons with this merger of Fox and Disney. And the CEO, I believe it was Bob Iger, was talking about in a quarterly earnings call with investors, taking calls, talking about Deadpool, and he said that it would continue under the Fox under a Fox umbrella, but he would so essentially what they're saying is they don't have an actual direct quote from him. This is a sourced thing where someone's just paraphrasing what he said back. Essentially, what they're saying is, when Deadpool comes to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, he'll have his own, like, subdivision that'll be, like, Deadpool Century Fox or whatever. I'm just using that as a fucking weird example. That's obviously not what it's going to be. But something to that effect that lets you know it's not directly a Disney movie. I mean, it is a Disney movie, but it's like Vertigo for DC Comics. You know, it's not their main title. It's not what they would suggest kids to watch, but it is a part of their umbrella, and they are going to market to a different audience altogether, and it'll be very successful. The question is going to be how and if and when are they going to be able to do crossovers then with Deadpool. We will have to see. I'm uncertain. But the Fox-Disney deal is, honestly, it's got to be getting close to over. And actually, a Fox report reports significant progress in the closing deal. It says, our company delivered another strong quarter of financial results. Underpinned by distribution and advertising revenues increased at our domestic cable networks and broadcasting businesses and the substantial gain on our sale of Sky. These results reflect our continued commitment to excellence in all aspects of our business. There has also been a significant progress in regards to the transaction with Disney and the spinoff of Fox Corporation, including the effectiveness of Form 10. The CEO, Charlie Kohler, added during the conference call, we are eagerly awaiting our company's new day one. I think we're going to have capabilities without a lot of overhead that you saw before, meaning more money for the big guys because they got less people down low. Well, I mean, that's just the truth. But it's going to all be a part of Disney. So it's going to be like Disney Fox. And then Fox is going to have its own new sub-brand. And that's going to be cool. You know, another... I said there was a couple big things on my show today. This is another big thing because this is a conversation that needs to be had. There are also some releases that have revealed some more about Endgame that we need to talk about. This is some Endgame conversation. I will close on the Disney Fox deal just saying, as I keep saying, we are all so excited. We are all eagerly awaiting. I'm chomping at the bit to see when this finally gets done. As soon as that deal gets done, guys, regardless of what day of the week it is and when, I'm probably doing a podcast about the deal closing, because the deal closing is not just going to be, okay, the deal closed, woohoo. They've got something planned. Trust me. I feel it in my bones. They've been thinking, I mean, listen, I've said it on this show before. I'll say it again here before I get into my soapbox and conversation and whatnot. But it just... damn it, I lost my little bit of my train of thought there. I was just in the thoughts, and I tried to jump back to talking about what this Endgame shiz is. And, yeah, anyways, fuck it. We're just jumping back. It happens. It happens, folks. Professional. I was just on a little bit of a tangent train, and my tangent got cut short because I just was checking in my notes of what's coming next. See, I got ahead of myself, fucked it all up. That's just a fact. So, there's a rumor going around, and this rumor's already been met with some na-nas, it's not happenings, and some, well, it could happen, possibly, maybe not, though. Who knows? We're going to have to see. And I want to give my opinion on it. I want to give my take on it. I want to flesh out all the different thoughts and viewpoints, really. So, with Endgame, they've said movies probably 3 hours. Could be more, could be just a pinch less, but most likely going to be a 3-hour film. It would be the official longest movie in MCU history, just past Infinity War at 246. So, I just think, you know, they're talking about this movie being so long. And then there's this rumor that came out, and as soon as I saw the rumor, man, my first thought was like, fuck, don't do that. And then I thought about it some more, and I was like, maybe that would be cool, though. So what am I talking about? What am I teasing? What's the loosey-goosey that I'm tiptoeing around? Really, here's the deal, Jack. There's been consideration and thought and talks that there will be an intermission or Endgame. And so in the middle of the movie, it's a 5 or 10 minute breather. You go get some refreshments or whatever you're going to do. And I thought, man, that's a terrible idea, because I want to see the movie and I want to know. I want to get to the end. When I strap in for that 3-hour ride, I don't want to step off until it's over. You know, like I'm not interested in a break or going pee or any of those things or whatever. Like I'll piss my pants before I'll leave watching the end game and what, you know, what's to come of these people that I've been watching for 10 years and their ultimate fates, you know, what's really to come of these different characters, right? So at first I was like, no, don't fucking have an intermission. That's terrible. It's a bad, so far off to a bad start. And then I thought, okay, wait a minute. Maybe it would be cool though, because then if a bunch of people leave to take a couple minutes and they're stretching and shit, I can just stand up in my seat. I don't have to actually go get snacks. I can just stand up and stretch for a minute. And, you know, if anybody doesn't give a fuck about the movie as much, they can get snacks. But I'm staying there. I'll probably BYOS, just spoiler alert, bring my own snacks. So I was like kind of back and forth. I love it. I hate it. I do like the idea. I also don't like the idea. I want to know the end game and how it plays out. So don't make me wait 10 minutes in the middle of it and make it a 3-hour and 10-minute experience, which is really closer to a 4-hour experience with all the trailers included. You know, it just starts to sound tedious. And then the Russo brothers struck. And they're like, I don't think we're doing that. You know, while in theory, it's a long movie, you know. We've been doing a couple test screenings. Yes, there's people in the world that have seen the fucking movie. Ah! There are people that have seen this movie, you fucks. Ah! Just to be in their eye holes and know what the fuck they've seen, man. So, it's like this. You know, the Russos say, got all these test screenings going on, and no one's leaving their seats. Not even for a minute. They strap in and they sit for the whole thing and they wait till the very, very end and then everybody gets up and leaves. And you know, whatever discussions do or don't follow, right? So the thing that gets me is them clarifying that people aren't wanting to leave means that my original thought of like, I just want to see it to the end, that's everybody's thought. We all want to just strap in for this ride, watch to completion, get our brain holes blown in parts, and then be like, yes, that was amazing, and the whole entire MCU was an incredible experience. I can't wait for what they do for the next 10 years. And holy shit, what's going to happen in 2028? Is that crazy? 2028, 20 years of the MCU, is not only 9 years away now, technically. Less than 10. We're just in the fluxing point, right? So, you know, I don't know. No intermission is my ultimate vote. I don't think they're going to do it. I think we're going to just get the film. You're going to be told to sit down, strap in, shut the fuck up, turn your cell phone off, and get ready for the end game, baby, because it's coming. Check this shit out. So, Orville Redenbacher, the people that make popcorns, they released a promotional image and it gives us a really good look at the OG six Avengers. They all are still alive after the snap. It shows Thor with his Stormbreaker and more close to the Ned Devilier and events of Endgame or events of Infinity War costume. You've got Tony's Iron Man costume, which looks slightly different and upgraded yet again. Cap with a slightly different costume yet again. And his costume, let me also mention, more close to the comic books with the little, what do you call them? Like the flower petal look, where like his costume had it didn't actually have flower petals. That's a bad descriptor. But it kind of has that texture. Anyways, you've got Agent Romanoff, Natasha Romanoff, sporting some red hair with a sort of ponytail thing going on. A Hulk, a very large Hulk, and he is in a kind of jumpsuity thing. And then a kind of Eddie Guerrero looking, I hate to say it like that, looking Jeremy Renner as Hawkeye. And there's like interesting to note that on Black Widow's arm, she's got some sort of device on her wrist. Could it be the thing that they're traveling through time with? and how they're going to change the events of Infinity War. I don't know. Also, it's interesting to note that you look at Banner, and he's got this suit on. It's Hulk Banner. So this obviously means he's reconciled with Hulk and gotten it right and figured shit out. And I tell you, I feel like it's possible that we're having some sort of, not necessarily Gray Hulk, and maybe they're fooling us with the color green and all the promo shit. Maybe he's actually going to be gray when he comes back. But it would be amazing to get a version of Gray Hulk, just a super analytical Professor Hulk. You know, Banner, but huge, would be, I'm really not just all for it. Like it would really complete something I would love to have seen on the big screen. The different forms of Hulk, Red Hulk, Gray Hulk, regular Hulk, and then the intelligence factor of Gray Hulk and his ability and the rage factors of Red Hulk and Thunderbolt Ross's abilities. Like, those characters are awesome, so I'm just interested in seeing what they do with him. He looks very intelligent in this, and maybe that's me just reading too far into it. Thor looks dejected, but badass as always, and it's the OG-6, guys. I mean, it's the original Avengers from the first movie. Looks like it's up to them to save the world, and who knows what's going to happen. By the way, speaking of Endgame, you guys, they officially released the synopsis for the movie. Doesn't give us much, but it does let us know a little bit more on what they're thinking about when they planned this film. It says here, by the way, I want to mention, I just loved the, I forget to wrap up what I was, my previous thought. I do want to say on the new look of the team, the original six, it does have me pretty excited because they do look great. And that it is like, yes, we're close. So here's the synopsis, you guys. For Avengers Endgame, after the devastating events of Avengers Infinity War, the universe is in ruins due to the efforts of the Mad Titan Thanos. With the help of remaining allies, the Avengers must assemble once more in order to undo Thanos' actions, restore order to the universe once and for all, no matter what consequences may be in store. Meaning that something is not going to turn out right at the end here. Somebody's going to lose it. We aren't going to have all the Avengers in this over. Like, not all the Avengers come out of this happy and okay. Just let's be real. Somebody's going to die. It's going to hurt. It's going to be sad. We're going to cry. We're going to talk about it for a long time. We're going to talk about it at LaFeyCon. How fucking crazy is that? That movie comes out the week of LaFeyCon. You guys, LaFeyCon is the last weekend in April in Lafayette, Indiana at Carnahan Hall. It's a 2-day event. It's fair. It's fun. It's awesome. Food trucks, great times, me hosting podcasting panels where we talk to people and just do different live shows and shit, having a bunch of different thoughts and theories and game plans put together. We are going to have so much fun, but we're going to be talking about Avengers Endgame, so make sure you see it if you're coming out, because I'm going to be talking about it. I'm going to try not to have spoilers, but god damn it, it's a culmination of 10 years. And it's going to be me wanting to really, really, really rip this thing open and discuss and dissect it. Hopefully I'll be able to see the movie more than once that weekend. We'll see if I can survive that weekend, no less. So let's keep moving on. We've got a little bit of Avengers stuff as, I guess not really Avengers stuff because Infinity War was the last time you saw the Guardians of the Galaxy. But Chris Pratt has confirmed to MTV News that the James Gunn script is going to be what is used for Guardians of the Galaxy. Chris Pratt telling them when they're asking if they're using Gunn's script, he said, yeah. Yes, I have seen the script also. It is off the chain. It's so good. It's so good. And then obviously they go back to talking about the removal of James Gunn from his position of director. Speaking of James Gunn's removal of position of director, there was an interesting article I saw on comicbook.com, and I wanted to just brief on it a little bit. It was somebody's conjecture of what they thought, and I just want to get your guys' takes. I'll give my thoughts at the end here. James Gunn was fired from Disney this past July, leaving his position as Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 director completely vacant. Marvel Studios is still planning to use Gunn's script, which everyone is excited about. But it's still a bit disheartening to see one of the most beloved Marvel mini-franchises without someone at the helm. You'd think that Marvel would be in a hurry to land another director to replace Gunn, but therein lies the problem. It seems like people don't want to take this job. Gunn's DNA is all over the Guardians series. It's very much his baby. Every director who feels like a good fit for the offbeat and uplifting story has been asked in interviews if they'd like to take on the third movie, and they've all responded the same way. That's James Gunn's movie. Edgar Wright, Taika Waititi, Joe Carnahan, and numerous other filmmakers continue their support for Gunn, perpetuating the idea that someone else shouldn't come in and take over. While we would all agree with the sentiment, that ship has sailed. Gunn is working with DC and Warner Bros. On a new Suicide Squad movie. He's not coming back to do Guardians. That's not necessarily true, because Suicide Squad could be scrapped. Best option seems off the table, and this movie is probably a finality for the Guardians characters, so it's important to do it right. So what is Marvel going to do about the Guardians 3 issue? Well, the answer that makes the most sense right now is under the studio's nose. Of course, I'm talking about Bradley Cooper. Before you get all up in arms about this, just hear me out. Cooper taking over Guardians 3 makes sense on just about every level. I'll explain. First off, Cooper has established himself as a good director. He's only made one movie, but that movie was last year's A Star Is Born, which not only found itself nominated for a slew of Academy Awards, but also made $417 million at the global box office on a $36 million budget. Cooper showed that he is talented behind the camera, and he is capable of pulling emotional performances out of some of Hollywood's biggest names. If Marvel wants to make a splash and get people excited, even those outside of the MCU fandom, Cooper is a great direction to go. Yeah, I understand that there are directors more versed in the world of sci-fi filmmaking, and a dramatic musical isn't exactly the best audition for a Marvel movie. A Train of Our Existence showing up. But he has the edge over all of them. The cast of Guardians franchise, Cooper included, has stood behind James Gunn through the entire process. They have made it clear while this movie is most definitely getting made, they don't really want anyone else but Gunn behind the camera. This creates a problem for any new director coming in. Someone established, like Waititi or Wright, could handle the transition based on their experience. They'd know the delicate balance needed to make this work. A young up-and-comer might face significant challenges when dealing with a cast that wishes deeply in their hearts that their beloved leader was still behind the camera. Cooper would fix both of these problems. Bradley Cooper may be new to directing, but he's not new to this Guardians family. Cooper lent his voice to Rocket Raccoon since the first Guardians film in 2014. While he may not have been on the set day after day during production of the first two films, he was part of that special something that they were building. He's their brother, plain and simple. If Cooper was at the helm, it wouldn't feel like someone new taking over, but rather a sibling stepping up and helping guide the entire crew through what's sure to be a difficult time. This could apply to any member of the Guardians cast. Don't get me wrong, Zoe Saldana, Sean Gunn could easily step in and fill the same role, providing just as seamless a transition for everyone else. Same goes for cinematographer Ben Davis, who shot the first Guardians movie, as well as Doctor Strange, Age of Ultron, and Captain Marvel. Any of these people who have been a part of the Guardians process could step up and take over. Cooper is just one fresh off directing an award-winning, financially successful film. Honestly, the only thing that really stands in the way of being a perfect fit is Cooper's willingness to do so. After an emotionally driven, grounded story like A Star Is Born, he may not want to move to an effects-heavy franchise. That's understandable, but there's also ways around that. With many small studios as Disney owns, including the soon-to-be-owned Fox Searchlight, the company could easily make Cooper in future offer if Kevin Feige wants him for Guardians. Studios often cut deals with filmmakers that pull them in for popular tentpole feature in exchange for a more personal passion project later on. That would make a lot of sense for Cooper and Disney both. Nothing has been confirmed regarding the director of GOTG3, other than the fact that James Gunn wouldn't be coming back. But someone has to make the movie, and while there may be better directors on the market, there are none better suited for this delicate situation than Bradley Cooper. You know, I said at the beginning of this I was going to give my opinion, so here it is. I do really like this concept. Thinking about Bradley Cooper, he is a successful, intelligent, well-put-together dude who has seen kind of it all. I don't know what the script is planned for GOTG3, but you would have obviously people that could come in and say this is what These are the graphics we've used before. Here's the template. How do you want to evolve it? How do you want to change it? What do you want to do? Bigger, better, badder, cooler. But then there's, you know, still the great what if. What if James Gunn comes back? What if Marvel cuts a deal and Suicide Squad never happens? You know, there's all the, honestly, I kind of think also someone said it, they said it in that article that Sean Gunn would be a great person to replace him. And I love that idea. I think that's very clever because Sean Gunn is just a, you know, obviously James Gunn's brother, but he seems like he's just such a sweet dude who could take the story and go, oh, I got this, and put it together, you know, cleverly. Maybe Kraglin is who saves Iron Man and Nebula. Just saying. Maybe he'll get the, like the SOS call from the Benatar. Anyways, so you guys, Captain Marvel has got an awesome new website. And how awesome is their new website? It's so awesome because it's, well, it's 90s to the fucking max. It's literally built like an old school 90s internet site, like late 90s. I mean, it's, I don't know how to, it's just like, I'm looking at it, it's just blowing my mind. It's so old school, like GeoCities. Go just search. Oh my God. You guys, I just found something and it's not been covered anywhere else, so it's going to be covered here first on JIC. It's Sunday morning, 1:04 a.m. where I am at in the world, and I'm finding this out right now. But I'm just looking at the URL for this site, and it is HTTPS with the colon backslash backslash I, ANNIHILUS. And then .u/Marvel/movie/Captain Marvel/Skull. So I'm pretty sure that if I were to search A-A-N-N. Oh, yeah. How about A-N-N-I-H-I-L-U-S spells Annihilus, which is what? That would be a villain who could be showing up very, very, very soon in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but his name is right there as a part of the Captain Marvel fucking site. And I'm just going to try to... This page isn't working. Shit. I tried to just change the thing, but you guys, it's... Annihilus is right there. They say it right there in the thing. I mean, I don't think anybody's broke this yet. I mean, it doesn't say, no, they didn't even touch on it. Man, you guys suck. I figured this out, but Annihilus is right there. Like, I'm genuinely shocked that they would plant that Easter egg so right in front of everybody's face and no one else catch it. Annihilus, I'm just blown away right now, you guys. I'm going to have to post about that soon. But, yeah, this Captain Marvel site's off the chain. It's super 90s. I love it. So I've only got a little bit of Marvel news left, and then we're going to transition into some DC news before we get down to town. Michael Douglas has recently said that they've already talked about, there's already been talks about another Ant-Man movie. He said there's been talks about another Ant-Man movie, but there's been nothing formal right now that I know of. They kind of always spring it on me the first time you hear about it. It's already in its third rewrite. So he's looking forward to the possibility of them doing another Ant-Man movie. I would love for them to do another Ant-Man movie. The first two Ant-Man movies have been really great. Paul Rudd's addition in Civil War was great. His addition to what's going to be Endgame is going to be great. Everywhere in between, you know, you have a chance to utilize Paul Rudd. He's such a funny, comedic dude. And I just got a fan casting in my head, like I just thought of something. I'll talk about that in a second. So I just, I love the Ant-Man movies and totally want to see more. And I think you guys will agree that Peyton Wright got it right. You know, he isn't Edgar Wright, but he still has done a really great job. So Gail Simone is, before I talk about the Gail Simone thing and this Wendy's controversy that you guys don't know about, check this shit out. I'm sitting here right now in this moment, I'm doing this podcast, and I'm an hour and 10 minutes and whatnot into it, and it's 1:08 in the morning, and I'm in a hoodie that's making me sweat to death, and I need to take it off, and I haven't taken it off yet, and I'm going to just keep talking and actually drop the headphones while I take this off. I don't know if you guys could hear me taking that off, but whatever, I don't really care.
Okay.
Oh, man. I'm telling you, I'm sitting here cooking, you guys, just on fire. So anyways, I'm sitting here thinking about it, and I'm like, fan casting, what if Jason Momoa came to the Marvel Cinematic Universe? Because I think Aquaman is shit, kind of. And it's like, what if Jason Momoa came to the MCU? Well, who would he play? Like, what character could you have? Somebody who's statured like Jason Momoa? Oh my god, he would be the perfect fucking Sentry or the perfect Guardian. Just saying. Oh my, well, mainly Sentry. I think Sentry is a perfect, perfect fit for him. Just the long flowing hair, you'd have him like dye. Oh, it'd be amazing. Anyways, so let's get into this Gail Simone shit. Gail Simone's a writer, and she spends a lot of time on social media. She decided to ask Wendy's a question. Wendy's is really good on their social media account about responding to people. So Gail Simone said, "Dear Wendy's, do you prefer the Marvel or DC universe?" And Wendy's just one word answered, Marvel. And the internet decided to burn as Wendy's went for Marvel, Gail Simone says. Wendy says, "We still love both. It's okay to read both." Gail Simone says, "We agree." People saying conflicting merchandise and showing how they have DC merchandise at Wendy's. Be careful, Marvel seems to enjoy putting redheads to death or in impossible marriages or both. You're dead to me now, Wendy's. I'm going to take my DC-loving dollars to Burger King. Hey, McDonald's, have you heard the Wendy's pick to side on the Civil War that is Marvel versus DC? Your fans and customers want to know, are you a Marvelite or a DC-not? What a day. Someone says, I'm so happy I was here for the day Wendy's declared Marvel over DC and proceeded to shut down a bunch of haters and give a little love to DC. You're dead to me, Wendy, someone else says. We live in a world where Wendy's choosing Marvel over DC became a headline. The nerds have officially taken over. We did it! So, this led to some more shit, because Wendy's weighing in led to another company weighing in. Little Debbie saying, Dear Gail, are you referring to the movies? We enjoy Marvel's ambition and general success in building a complex cinematic universe with diverse heroes, but we also appreciate DC's universe willingness to allow each hero's story to be told in unique ways. So both. Well said. Little Debbie continues saying, which leads us to a greater thought. Our culture is obsessed with competition and comparison. We can't simply appreciate things for what they are. Preferences are fine, but often people act as if they have to hate on one thing in order to remain loyal to the other. It's bad. And that's true. And I love that. That's very well said, Little Debbie. I think that it comes back to the heart of the start of this podcast. It's almost a shame that I have more things to talk about, because that would have been a beautiful end note for this episode to end on the fact that you don't have to hate on Marvel if you're a DC fan, and vice versa. And you can find love in both, and you can see flaws in both. And maybe people think I'm a little bit harsher on DC, and I judge them on a little bit of a stricter curve, but I've had to, when I've not been given enough trust that they can do their movies properly. Regardless of what money-making, I know good movies when I see them, and DC has consistently made movies that are only just mediocre to me. I mean, I've seen Batman vs. Superman, I've seen Man of Steel, I've watched Suicide Squad, Wonder Woman was amazing, that's the one really shining star, I've seen Aquaman now. I'm looking forward to Shazam, honestly. And, you know, speaking of Shazam, funnily enough, Oh, we actually have one more thing, because DC Comics got their revenge on Wendy's. They posted a picture of Dan DiDio and Jim Lee at their publisher meeting, eating McDonald's and Burger King, wearing King's crowns, and having it their way, with some really awesome comics in the background, just rubbing it in. And Marvel Entertainment responds, hey, at Wendy's, and it's a picture of Spider-Man. And I'm going to read what Spidey says here, but I got to pull it up closer to my face because I'm blind. It says, I think that when I went through that pour, I kept saying over and over in my head, I need to go to Tahiti. I need $1 million, and I need a new girlfriend. DC says heartbroken. Oh, man. It's funny. DC, you know, and Marvel can kind of be playful with each other with social media. I love that fast food chains can be playful with people now through social media, and they're utilizing it. And sometimes, man, certain social media chains are roasting people and shit, and that's hysterical in its own right. So, you know, to talk about it, we've only got a couple more things here. One of my favorite actors slash comedians slash musicians slash people in the world is Jack Black. And earlier I was talking about how DC had thrown out there, or there's a rumor that's been thrown out there, that Robert Pattinson is going to be playing Batman Bruce Wayne in Matt Reeves' The Batman. And I think it's a terrible idea. I don't think that's a smart move. I don't think that puts butts in seats. I don't think it sells people. And that doesn't sell people even if this next thing becomes true, because Jack Black actually put it out there. And he says, is there talk of me as the Penguin? Are we starting it? Yeah, that would be a role. That would be fun. As he was promoting A Clock in Its Walls. I would love to see Jack Black as the Penguin. It could be interesting. He can take on serious roles. I believe Jack Black was Oscar nominated, right? Like Best Supporting Actor in King Kong or some shit. Like, the dude's done it all, man. He's legit. And I think there's another guy, Josh Gad, who said that he wants to play the Penguin. I think that's another beautiful casting choice. Both dudes would do it really greatly. I love Jack Black. Anyways, so much. A little bit of DC news here left, as some Shazam action figure, a Shazam action figure was on the shelf, and it actually reveals that, like, every person in the movie is gonna, obviously the toys aren't necessarily reflective of what's gonna happen in the movie, but every character in the movie has a version of their toy where they're in a Shazam-esque suit. So does that mean we're gonna get all of these different Shazam characters? Who knows? It's also interesting to ponder, like, will we see Dwayne The Rock Johnson as Black Adam appear in this movie somewhere, say at the end? A post-credit scene, perhaps. Or maybe be secretly the film's villain all along and not be putting any trailers for some stupid reason. But I don't know. Really genuinely looking forward to Shazam's movie. It's one of those things that when I saw the trailer, I was like, oh my God, it's big. And I loved big. So big with superheroes, big superheroes. Yes. I dropped the mic. Oh no. Oh my God, I dropped my mic. Oh my God, I dropped my phone too. Shit. Oh my gosh. Okay, I'm back. I did it, you guys. I dropped the mouse, not my mic. I dropped the mouse. And I also then dropped my phone. I got one last thing for you for you freakazoids. Let me tell you something. And the end of this week is we're getting to Valentine's Day. Thursday I'm going to be going to the Amazing Opera, the Lyric Opera, to see Elektra. Not the superhero, not the Daredevil lady. But Friday, Doom Patrol debuts on DC Universe streaming service. And let me tell you, I watched Titans. I loved Titans. Their fourth episode of Titans was the Doom Patrol teaser, like essentially their pre-pilot. It was fucking awesome. I cannot wait for this show. It also introduces Vic Stone as Cyborg, who was not seen in Titans, just to keep it in mind. I think they wanted to keep him away from that show to start, because they want to build the Titans up eventually and have him join the team later, and it's not as cool if he is just everybody joins the team in the first season. It's too predictable. Got to let it dry on. But anyways, they had a new trailer, and it was just like, again, teasing a few things here and there. It looks really good. It just has a comedic tone. Brendan Fraser is going to be amazing. You've got Elastigirl and Robot Man and Negative Man and Crazy Jane and Cyborg. And obviously Gar is taken off. He's with Dick Grayson and company and whatever's happening into the Titans. So I'm really, let me tell you what, again, to touch back on that first part of the show, I really am excited for this DC streaming service to keep kicking out these awesome shows, because so far, one for one, they've got me. Now, Doom Patrol looks great, and it's a show I wasn't expecting to get into, and it's got its claws hooked in me, so that's got to mean something, right? And I think if it can deliver, and let me tell you something, I will probably do a week-by-week review of the Doom Patrol if it's good enough. And I think it's going to be. I should have done that for Titans. I just was uncertain, and then I kind of like watched episode one and then forgot to talk about it, and then watched episode two, and then I just did it badly. I'm in a better plan with the Doom Patrol, and that's how it's going to be. Anyways, folks, we're approaching the end of the show here. And before we get out of here, we should always hit you guys with plugs. You're listening to Journey Into Comics right here on the Journey Into Comics Network at journeyintocomics.com. You guys can get us on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher Radio, Google Play Music, Spotify, CastBox, wherever you're listening to podcasts. Just search Journey Into Comics Network. Subscribe to us. You'll get access to all the different shows on our feed. Also, don't forget, before I do anything else, you want to go to podcastrepod.podbean.com or search Podcastrophy on iTunes, because not only are you going to have Podcastrophy be a show now, another show that's spinning off that's still a part of our network, but it's a part of our network that's going to be exclusive to the feed that Podcastrophy has, is Happy Fun Metal Time with Dick and Tyler. You guys are going to be Dick and Nick. God, I fucked that up. Dick and Tyler do Podcastrophy. Happy Fun Metal Time with Nick and Dick. And they already recorded episode one. It was a lot of fun to hear. I can't wait to see what those guys do. So check them out. Also, go to patreon.com/journeyintocomics. Give us $1 for early access and exclusive content, meaning there are shows that you can listen to right now before anybody else gets to hear them. They're up for you, our Patreon subscribers. We need $1, man. You guys give $1 to other things. We just need you to throw us $1. That's all. That's all we need. And that'll help us out a ton. I think that's going to do it for Journey Into Comics 230 Big Superheroes. I have been your host, Nate. As always, take it easy, pop those caps back, and fill your brains with shit. Later, guys.